All right, we are in lesson 34 of the 1 Timothy class, or Timothy class. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're looking at two passages, or two verses today, verses 11 and 12. So, again, lesson 34, chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, and verses 11 and 12. And these are the verses for today. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So again, when we get into verse 12, I really want to delve into that a lot too. I'll kind of explain later, but I think that's one of those verses that's many times misquoted or misused, and we'll kind of take you through that when we get to that. But I think that's one of those ones that I'd really like to explore a lot on, is the fight the good fight of faith. But we'll start away with question one. What do we, this is, again, we've had to avoid all sorts of things. Now, what are we to run away from? We see this in verse 11. But flee from these things, you man of God. So what are we to flee from?
Okay.
What he said previously.
All kinds of evil.
All kinds of evil. these things, okay? I will put more onto these things, and I go with Mike. It's really everything. I think before he's given us these warnings, he's been giving us a whole lot of things to avoid, and now he's telling us really just flee from these things, run away, and we'll get into even the words there. But it goes back to everything that's before that, I think. And again, remember, this is Paul giving Timothy guidance on how to run the church and how to administer to the body at Ephesus. And so this is the guidance. So we've gone through all these, but I'll read them just so for context. So beginning in verse 3, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness. So that's one, and then continuing, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Then we get into this verse that we're to run away from. So, from this passage that of everything he listed, what is the motive of the people that we're fleeing from? What is the motive? There's a whole bunch of things, but what is the motive that he gives out in there, in those verses? Motive. He listed a whole lot of things in there, but there's a motive. Desire to get rich. In I think it's verse 5, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So that, you know, out of all of the stuff they're doing, their motive is to gain power, gain money. So all these different things that they are leading in different doctrines and different things, their main thing is to gain power or gain money. And he's warning, stay away from these people, flee from them, run away from them. These people don't have any good for you, and really their motive is just power and a means to get rich. And also we see in verses 9 and 10, but those who want to get rich, okay? And then also in verse 10, for the love of money. So a lot of this is about money and power. And I, you know, I put this out. Do we see that today? just a little bit. You know, I think I look at like Joel Osteen, you know, mega, and some of these mega churches that are out there. And you think about that, you know, can they really minister individually to people? And what is their motive with just massive buildings and massive, you know, programs that need to be funded? I crack up. There was a guy, he was a pastor somewhere, I think a Baptist preacher maybe in the South, and he was just imploring his membership to pour in the money because he needed another Gulfstream with a longer flight path, so he, you know, distance, so he could minister to farther away places in his Gulfstream jet. Yeah. That, you know, that is exactly what he's talking about here. Flee, run away, get away from him. Don't even get in this guy's church because he is nowhere near wanting. The motive is wrong. Let's put it that way. And I see that, you know, and it used to be a lot of televangelists on TV, you know, and prosperity doctrines, you know, you'd be on TV and, oh, if you give $100, it'll come back and $1,000 to you. If you give me $100, you know, it'll come back to you, and all these prosperity doctrines. So this is what Timothy is warning about. These people have no desire to make you spiritually grow. They want their bank account to grow. They want their church to be mega church so they can look out with pride about how many people they have. That's who he's warning against here. So, yeah, Ron.
Just remember like 700 Club and Oral Roberts. Yeah. What happened to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's a guy. Who's the guy here? He bilked a bunch of people. And your grandmother.
I'm a pretty good guy at Calvary Temple.
Yeah. Bilked, you know, all these old people out of all their money, you know. And again, just this is what Timothy is warning. Stay away from these people. When you see that their you know, biggest thing is money, stay away from them. They're not looking after your spiritual growth. So there's some other things. I think these Mike had some in notes and from Macaulay and some others. These things refer to commercial godliness. I thought that was pretty good. Commercial godliness spoken of, and it's a constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So commercial godliness, I thought that was a great term. And from Macaulay, big time Christianity is big bucks Christianity, and Timothy is to have no part in it. So again, the people who are just, you know, offering, you know, you got to give more. Well, that kind of goes, just sorry, all these memories when we're in Fiji and they were giving the offering plate and it goes around and everybody, yeah, ooh, and everybody who put it in, ooh, they cheer, and then it went around and then they count it. Well, that's not enough, so he had to go around again. And then I think they started saying, well, Fred, your family didn't give enough. It was like, wow. You know, so unlike us, we don't even take a collection. We just have a box that you can throw it in, you know, and we don't make a big deal of it. So again, just be weary of those churches that have money as their main object, or their facilities, that we need three more, you know, wings of this building so we can minister more. And we need, well, then we need more money for all those people who are going to do that. And it's always focused on growth or money. It's not on the individual. So just that's what Timothy is, you know, worried about here, which is kind of fascinating. I wouldn't think in this time that he was here, or when Timothy was being ministered to, that was a big thing. That was something that was prevalent at that time, that people were doing it for money. So I thought that was kind of a weird thing. Does anybody else think that way? Do you think that big time Christianity was? You have to find a seat somewhere.
Sorry,
yeah.
Here. You got to get yourself situated.
Yeah, aren't there two? There are two seats by you. Oh no, that's Mike's too. Yeah. Don't let me introduce him. Zach. Yeah, it's Zach. Uh-huh, thanks. Uh-huh. So I just thought there was a little weird that I do. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, it does seem a little weird because we didn't live in that context. We think, oh, they weren't all into money and pursuing wealth. They lived in, you know, mud huts and wore sandals and
yeah,
you know, like whatever. But the reality is that human nature has never changed.
Right.
You know, the desire for wealth, prestige, power is always the same.
Yeah. And some of the scriptures where, you know, you let the rich man here and put the poor man over here, and, you know, it's those kind of things. So there was a divide between rich and poor. So, but this is just warning those who I like commercial godliness. They were doing it for commercial purposes, not to make you grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. So.
One of the subtle ways to raise money like that is the donors list that comes out semi-annually or annually, and who gave the most.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they categorize them as patrons.
Oh, yeah. Your silver, your gold, your whatever.
The guy said to me, are you on that list? I said, yeah, I'm under the A's. He said, what do you mean? I said, anonymous.
Or the really bad when you have the thermometers, you know, that are, you know, oh, the giving is up to, oh, yeah, we need more. Oh, you're almost at the top. Yeah.
Raise your hand if you've never done that.
I don't think we have.
Not here.
Yeah, no.
Ever.
Or what?
You've never had a thermometer?
I don't think so. Have we? Have we?
First Christian church.
Oh, I don't think we ever.
Okay.
The brother, yeah.
You fit in this category. You have fleed.
So you guys have all had thermometers, huh? I guess. I think you get more out of Fahrenheit. I think you get.
When I was a kid growing up, we had big building fund projects, right?
Yeah.
Always trying to.
Yeah. Well, actually, now I think about it, I think we did have for Camp Elam. Now that I think about it. They had a saw, I think, that was, you know, building. It was a big, like, saw climbing up the... Yeah. That, we did have it, and I take that back. I am... I didn't do that. It was Dan. I believe it. It's Dan. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see anything. No. As a board member, I couldn't change that. Oops. Anyway, all right. So we've proven that it is prevalent even today, so... So, in verse 11, who is the man of God? So, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So, who is the man of God?
Well, I kind of thought about that. I mean, I tend to just read by that as like, okay, now this is addressed to Timothy or to the believer. But there's really something in that man of God. Mm-hmm. Because the contrast is man of the earth,
mm-hmm.
earthly man versus heavenly man. That's, I think, what he's
right.
putting his finger on here. Earthly man pursues earthly treasure.
Mm-hmm.
The man of God, or the heavenly man, is a whole different, you know, pursuit.
So yeah. Again, this would be for Timothy himself, but brought more broad is for all of us. So it applies to us today. You know, the man of God. you can grab a... You want to get him a lesson? Or So yeah, this was specific to Timothy, but then the broader application is to a man of God. And I like the contrast, Miles, that it's as contrasted to a man of the earth or a man who is not of God. So the designation of man of God means a man who belongs to God. And it's also used in 2 Timothy 3:17, if you look at that one. In ancient times, it was used frequently by the prophets, indicating the special relationship they bore to God. The phrase, O man of God, is not an official designation of Timothy's position in the church. So it wasn't a title or anything. It's a characteristic, but a strong form of address. The word God is in the genitive case, the descriptive genitive here, describing the kind of man Timothy was, a godly man. So that's really what it says. It's not saying a title. It's just you're a godly man. your life is exhibiting the life of Christ. So you're a godly man. So that's the one he's saying, flee from these things, you man of God. So, this is also a strong imperative command. So you flee from this, you godly man. It's imperative that you do this. If you don't, what's going to happen?
Not.
Not? You just take the contrary. You need to, if you know, you have to follow it up. Since you probably don't know where the question is, not is...
It's not really an answer, I know. And by the way, I'm a total stranger, but Lord, I love you guys.
You've been here before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've been here. So, I forget your name, though. What is it?
Norm.
Okay.
If you expect me to expand on that, I won't.
Okay. I didn't expect you to.
Well done.
So this is the imperative that, again, that we're to flee, and the godly man is supposed to do this. Otherwise, if you don't, Timothy, in what we've been going through in all of 1 Timothy, is all these warnings to stay away from. Don't even listen to. Remember when we're in chapters 1 and 2, I believe, where it was like, don't even listen to them. Don't even give ear to it. Aggressively stop them from listening to them. He's imploring the same thing. Stay away from these people who, in this one, have the commercial godliness. Stay away from them. It's just not going to end well if you do. So it's, and again, it's the imperative, which is, again, a command. It's do this. So I put this question again. As we discussed in question one, should we as men and women of God be supporting churches, pastors, etc., that have a focus on money, power, grandeur? Should we be supporting those?
No.
Or to flee from them? If you're in a church that is really pounding money is the principal thing that you focus on, stay away. Flee. Don't stay there. Get away from that teaching. If you're online or something, this guy's great, but you suddenly realize it's all about money. It's all about him growing his church or whatever. Flee from that. Paul is telling him, flee from it. Don't even get in there. Get away. Don't just sit there. Flee. Get away. So very, very important, I think, that we understand that you don't just kind of sit there and tolerate it. You're actually supposed to flee. Get away from it.
Real quick thought there. On the man of God, you talked about it being the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
The nature. Well, it's the new nature, right?
New nature.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in 2 Timothy 3:17, it talks about that the man of God, same phrase there, be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so,
right.
I was wondering, okay, so Timothy needed to be adequate and equipped for every good work, and the gain was righteousness,
mm-hmm.
in the previous verses there.
Right.
And it's interesting to use that contrast of gain and righteousness versus the love of money, the avarice, the love
right.
after money, and contrast that. So here you have a young man that is adequate and equipped for the work of eldership, which he's
yes.
been placed into. I was wondering, how does that character of the man of God apply to us, since we're not elders, or some many of us aren't? So,
I
just was wondering where the rubber met the road for the Christian.
Yeah. Did you write?
I think it shows up. To answer JD's question. I think it shows up in the character of the man.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell whether a man or a woman, doesn't matter. Is that the Lord is has a priority in their life in terms of how they live, what
right.
they do, what they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of us belong to God who bought us at the cross. And as a believer realizes his God owns him, he learns how to become a man of God, and that's what influences his thinking and his decisions and how he lives.
Yeah, and I think for us, it's the same admonition that he's given to Timothy. And just remember about all we've gone through for a very long time in 1 Timothy. A lot of it is watch out for this. here's the godly aspect. Watch out for this. This is a response, you know. So, and he's doing it here again too, where he's given all these warnings in the verses 3-10, and then he says, stay away from it. But then what's he going to do? Pursue this. So he's had the same basic guidance through all of 1 Timothy. He contrasts those that are not of the Lord or not, you know, profitable, versus those who pursue righteous, who are all these different good attributes with the manifestation of Christ. So I think the application is still the same.
I think so too, and that's kind of where I was getting at there, is that you've got the main concentration being on the office of eldership and Paul, you know, teaching Timothy what is required, but those are characteristics that every Christian
yes.
receives because we all have the same source.
Right, and I think that's another reason why the designation here of a godly man, it's not Timothy's in the title. This is of a godly man.
Applicable to everyone.
So that's again, the broad brush of what he's telling you is of a godly man. What does a godly man do?
We should answer that for ourselves. Like, what is the answer to that question?
It is. It's coming up.
Let's do it.
It's amazing that Paul gave us the answer to that. What a concept. So what are the items of true riches as opposed to commercial or physical gain and money and all that? So what are they? So, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So the commercial, flee from. Now pursue what? These six different things. So the contrast is very straightforward. Get away from the guy who is all about money and power and big buildings and not worried about your personal growth. Stay away from that. Now you pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So, yeah.
And is this like a checklist of six things that define godliness, or is this kind of a representative sampling of the character?
I think this is more representative. These are just... Well, and we'll get into it. So, yeah.
Only if you're a man.
No. This is the generic men and women. In Christ, there is no man, woman, Jew.
Sorry.
Yeah, there is no man, woman. So this is in the life of Christ. There is no sex distinction. So as with fleeing from men who want power, the Greek word for pursue is in the present tense, active voice, and indicative mood, meaning we as people of God should be continually going after these six things that Paul lays out for Timothy. So, yeah.
I think that whole idea of pursue is what indicates if you're a godly man or not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because everybody knows when you get to know a man, what is he after?
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing with his life? What does he hope to gain?
Mm-hmm.
If it's riches, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's prestige, you know that.
If right.
It's whatever. But this is the key to the man. What does he pursue?
The godly man.
Godly man.
The godly man. Right. This is what he is after. You know, and I fail in this routinely.
Oh.
Is the fact that when somebody asks me about who I am or whatever, what's my first response? Well, I'm an engineer. I do groundwater. I blah, 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 blah. You know, that's my first response. And most men, that's their first response. And women, I shouldn't be, you know, women who are working or whatever. That usually the first response is who you are in the world.
What you do is who you are.
What you do is who you are. And I do it all the time. I'm the first to admit I do it all the time. But our real thing is who we are in Christ, and that's the. But it's hard, you know. Not hard, but you know, it's not normal for most conversations that you know. Your first thing is I'm a Christian. I follow Lord Jesus. You know, those things are not typically the things that come out of somebody when you ask what do you do, or who are you? You know, it's not that. So.
I say Arminian because it doesn't put anything on my forehead.
We're not getting into Arminian or Calvinism. We're not touching it. So again, you know, this is we're to pursue, which to follow is, and Tim, I apologize probably for butchering. You know the Greek, and I diaiko means to run swiftly in order to catch some person or thing to run after, pursue, metaphorically, to seek eagerly, earnestly, endeavor to acquire. So that's how we're to go after righteousness, you know, all these six things. And Zodiades has it, to follow or press hard after, to pursue with earnestness and diligence in order to obtain, to go after with, I like this, with the desire of obtaining. So if you put that, the desire of obtaining righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness, that's the characteristic of a godly man. You earnestly desire that. That's what you want, is to pursue righteousness, gentleness, all these things. That's the godly man. He wants to do that. That's the key to what his motives are in life, is to pursue these things. And sadly, I think many times we're not doing that. You know, we get wrapped up in the world and different things, but the godly man is the one who pursues these things and with an eagerness. And I love the word desire. That's what you want to do. That's really what you want, is to find righteousness, gentleness, all these different things. That's your heart's motive. So,
can I make an observation?
No.
I just want to check your box and get yourself on this. So I was thinking about this list of things, and we use that word things a lot to talk about quality, right? So,
yeah.
This is an echo of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. It also ties in on the qualifications of the elders, but most noticeably, you see the fruit of the Spirit, and as we've taught so many times, it's not fruits, it's fruit, it's personal. And so, while it does go into fighting the fight, and you're going to get into all
yeah.
that is all centered on a person, mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, right? So, we think about being a godly man, we're thinking about pursuing that relationship with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the Lord Jesus, and getting to know who you are in Him. But like Miles was talking about, you know, the godly man is a heavenly man. What do you know about that?
Right.
And that's what you pursue.
Right.
And it's all wrapped up in your union with Christ. And so, while it's not all explicitly laid out here, it does connect with other verses throughout that.
Oh, yeah.
Not the things, but the person.
Well, and again, if these are what you pursue, what's going to be manifest in your life? You're going to be a godly man. So if you are a godly man, you're pursuing these, and guess what? That'll be evident.
Evident, I think, is a good word. Now we know what that looks like.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's kind of, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, I think the godly man is pursuing this, but by pursuing this, you become a godly man.
So depending on the means by which you pursue these things, because I'm looking at this here, and I'm like, when you tell the old man to pursue these things,
not the old man,
right? But a lot of believers see that list. They're gonna, and that's why the next phrase is so critical.
Excellent, yeah, and that is true. Because I'm going to do this. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that from get go? I'm going to do this. Not happening. Not happening. And that's a great point. That it's the Holy Spirit working in us. And putting that desire in us, that's who puts the desire in our heart.
Yeah, and I think this desire often comes earlier in your walk as a believer, and you do have this desire for this kind of life. You just have no idea how to get it out of, you know.
Well, and I think typically early on, how can I do this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How can I do that? I go through my, you know, which I've told 100 times and with the play, I thought it was by you know, memorizing scripture. I was going to be a godly man because I am going to you know, memorize these scriptures. It's like in the Brethren Church, you know, in the morning Lord's Supper, you know, men would quote scripture, you know, by memory. I thought that's what I want to do. I'm going to memorize those verses and I'm going to be a godly man by that. I'd got me a flat forehead into the wall, you know. I just, you know, nothing. I can't memorize. As evident by the play, but that was under my assumption that was the way to be a godly man, was to memorize, and that was totally wrong.
You messed it up? I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of things you didn't know about it.
See?
Yeah. It went off flawlessly. Flawlessly, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Delight yourself. That's the beginning.
Delight in the
delight
Lord.
Yourself in the Lord.
Oh, yeah. And that's but the delight is the desire.
Oh, yeah.
That's the desire to do that.
Interesting. Delight, desire. Sorry. Yeah.
As you're talking, I was, as a young Christian, I got saved and was around Christian men, young life people. And then I met Miles Stanford.
Yeah.
And he was different.
Yeah.
He was one of these guys.
Yeah.
And it was quietly attractive. I thought that, I don't know what it is about him, but he knows the way. You know.
Well, to pump you up and tear you down, I realized when I met you, you were a different person. In a lot of ways. But as I said many times, he's helped me by just read scripture. That's what I do every day, is just take one, my thing, not to tell you, like I said, I started John, read one chapter a day until I get to Revelation, and then I just read it, but one chapter a day, and with not the study in it, just to read it. And I've learned so much more that way. And I know more scripture in my head than I ever did trying to memorize, to be a godly man. And so, again, it's very, I think it's great. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing this. The old man has nothing to do with this. In fact, it's the guy telling me, hey, bud, memorize those things. You're going to be a godly man. Do it, you know. You guys, through your own effort, do this. That's the flesh that was in me. And so, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that's the one that puts the desire on you, and you respond to that. So, the things, too, the six items, these six items constitute true wealth. You know, we've said what wealth is, and now the six items, these six items are what true wealth is. And I also have a question, I think. Do these verses say Paul is condemning rich people? No, it's not. And there are other verses which we'll actually get to in verses 17 and 19 that actually talk to about being a rich person. And he's not condemning it. So this is not to be taken as, if you're wealthy, you're over here. Flee from me. It's not that. It's the people who have the motive of money is their motive. Flee from them. But a rich man can be as godly as anyone else. So he's not contaminated. I just want to make sure, because sometimes it's like, you know, money is the root of all evil that we saw and all this kind of stuff. But it's not condemning a rich man. It's the motive of that rich man. And if it's all about wealth, then it's the wrong motive.
Love of money.
That's the motive. It's the love of money rather than the love of the Lord. So, as we look at the six things Paul is telling us to pursue, the first two virtues are general, righteousness and godliness. And then faith and love are two fundamental principles of the Christian life. Finally, perseverance and gentleness describe the virtues necessary in a world hostile to Christ. So it's kind of broken up into three different sections. There's a general, which is righteousness, godliness, and then fundamental, which is faith and love, which, you know, we're as part of being a manifestation of Christ, faith and love. And then the last one is perseverance and gentleness. How do you function in a world? How do you function in this world that hates Christ? And it's in with perseverance. So don't get dragged down by the people who are attacking you. They took Christ and crucified him. They hated him. They hated us because just in the same way as they hated Christ. But what he pins on this is gentleness. Don't go out and scream at people. Don't go out and beat them up. Gentleness. That's what, you know, I there's a song I think that what is it, like a witness? Yeah. Thank you.
Have you heard of flashcards?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to write it on my arm, on my sleeve. I was trying to get the exact words, but it's something of the thing is that I've never seen a person saved by an argument. Yeah. So Sorry, I was struggling for the words, the exact words. I can improvise. In my, as known in the play, I can improvise. So
but that's very true.
Yeah,
very true.
You don't win, you know, you don't win people over by screaming at them. Although, as I've said, and this is kind of the, God uses all methods, all methods. So I've used this several times. So, you know, there's a guy down at, I've seen him once, the guy down at the Rockies, out there on a, you know, tin can, and he's screaming at people, yelling at people. And I'm like, oh, that's horrible. But God allowed it for some reason. He's allowed it. And maybe it's one person he's getting to, or it's spurring in some people. I don't know. It's not the way I do it, not the way I think about doing it, not even, but he's down there telling people they're all going to hell and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, if God didn't want that, you know, he'd take him away. So anyway, so gentleness is the key, but he uses all things. So, yeah.
I think a lot of times, using that guy as an example, the Lord puts us through an environment where we learn what not to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I can go through it, you know, before I was a believer, I was coming back on a flight, and this guy buttonholed me and was just, wouldn't let me off for 3 hours telling me about the Lord. I didn't want any part of it, but 3 hours, I was like, if I was on the emergency exit, I was going to pull the door and get out of there. And that's before I was a believer, but it was like, that really impacted me about, you know, buttonholing somebody and just grinding them into the ground with the gospel. You know, you're gonna say, I'm gonna save you today, regardless. You know, so all right, these six items. Righteousness. What is that? What is righteousness? We're to pursue it. What is it? Nobody knows what righteousness is.
Hard word.
Righteousness. You're
the word right. That is just a personal manifestation of perfection and right. Meaning, when combined with his justice, mm-hmm. he always judges rightly because he's righteous. Mm-hmm. When compared with his sovereignty, he's righteous and is sovereign over all things that he has created. Therefore, he can not only create man in the image of his righteousness,
yeah.
but he also rules righteously and manages his creation righteously.
So what does it mean for you to pursue righteousness? That's godly right.
Right. So huh? I have been created in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I have righteousness through the Lord Jesus and his life. There yeah. is no righteousness in my own.
Right.
It's the gospel message.
Right.
I can never meet the righteous standard. Therefore, I'm judged.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, and it's kind of a hard thing to, you know, because it's a very hard word, actually, righteousness and God and that and how that applies to us. I think the note in here was that it refers to moral integrity. I thought that was a good equivalency of what it means for a believer. Moral integrity. You know, you're following the word. You know, you're you know, not being thrown all over the world, you know, your beliefs and all that. You're following God's word. Your integrity is based on the word of God. So I thought that was a good definition.
But it has to be related to God's character, because there is
yeah.
In Philippians 3:9, Paul talks about a righteousness of my own,
mm-hmm.
you know, which would be a righteousness that lines up with what I think is right and good. Which may not be in line with what is truly right and good. So
right.
righteousness in this sense is what aligns with God's character.
And God's word.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's in how we're to live our life. It is in keeping with God's word. That's where I look at it. It's like
it's against your feet. You may not feel like something God said is right, but if he said it.
Oh, yeah. He said it.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You want a definition? With respect to the character of God is transparently holy and righteous in all his acts. When combined with love, his righteousness results in grace. God's righteousness is ever absolute, it's perfect to infinity. In him is no darkness at all. It's seen in two ways. He's a righteous person, and he's righteous in all of his ways.
The person is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to positional righteousness that we have. We share the righteousness. And that's why the word pursue is so important.
Right. Because
you can't arrive at God's righteousness through sinful human effort.
Right.
You have to let the Spirit of God do that.
Yeah.
But there'll be a day.
And I think it goes back to the word desire. The Holy Spirit puts a desire in your heart to pursue this. And what is it? To pursue the righteousness of God, which is, to me, the manifestation of Christ in our life. That to me, is when I say pursue righteousness, that's what I take it to be, is that I am going to manifest the character of Christ. So, Zodiati's had this definition, too, of disposition or conduct in common life, which was, you know, kind of with the moral integrity, I think, too. Uh-oh. That means the music is leaving here. So, what time is it? Oh, I haven't seen the other class leave yet. So we'll go on the rest of these terms, and then think about fight the good fight. Think about that. And what I find this one is one of those verses that gets misrepresented or misquoted a ton of times, and I've seen it down at camp, and it just makes my hair bristle. When I hear some of this, and it's misinterpreted, and so just think about that as we get into that. We'll finish up these different words, the six things he's talked about. We'll get with those next week, and then get into fight the good fight. So let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again just for who you are, and as we think of righteousness and all these different things, we realize that your character is righteous. You're holy. And you're sovereign, all the characteristics you are. And we just thank you that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that gives us the desire to pursue these things. And it's with an earnest desire to pursue righteousness and all these godliness and gentleness and all these different things that Paul provided for Timothy. That we pray for each one of us, that in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, you plant that desire for these things. So we just give you thanks again for this time in your word, and we just pray for the next meeting with Roger, giving the message, that he'll give us the message clearly, and just prepare our hearts to receive it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.